Chapel Church, and as Ben and Joyce, they're our missionary. So Ben, come on up. We're glad to have Ben and Joyce with us. About once a year, we're able to hear from you, not only an update on the ministry that you're going through, but then also you just share with us from the Word. And one thing that I've always appreciated about both Ben and Joyce is they really care about getting the gospel out to those who do not know Jesus Christ. And so I've always appreciated that passion that you share with us. I'm sure we'll probably see some of that today.
Yeah.
But it's kind of it's usually that wake-up call that we need, that we're going through this life, but it's not about us. It's about Christ and how we can serve him. So
Amen. Let's
just pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for our brother, Ben, who's able to be here today and share with us not only the ministry of Things to Come Mission, but also teach us through your word how we can mold ourselves to not only your image, but also the mission that you've called us to. So Lord, we just pray, open our hearts and our minds for us to be attentive and to put into practice whatever you laid upon Ben's heart to teach us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you all? Good. It's wonderful to be with you again. The reason why we're here every year is I'm the International Director of Things to Come Mission. And so part of my job description is to appear at a board meeting in Indianapolis once a year. And so we travel a lot with Joyce. I think Joyce is in here. Where are you, Joyce? Oh, there she is, waving. Hi, Joyce. And we travel a lot, so I earn a lot of frequent flyer miles. And so we can fly around the U.S. for free. I don't think I'll ever use all the miles that we have amassed. But we always take this chance to come here. Of course, Joyce is from this church. This is her home church. And in fact, this is where we met. I was calculating that I met Joyce 12,250 days ago. And I met her in this church Sunday. It was February 23, 1986, a Sunday night service. I was presenting my ministry. I was on the way to, as a single missionary, on my way to work in Kenya, East Africa. And she was in the audience. And I think there were some people in the church who worked to bring us together. Maybe the Holy Spirit was working, but also people in the church was working. And so 33 years later, here we are. We continue to serve the Lord together. Actually, in 1986, we were married, married, and arrived in Kenya as missionaries, all in 1986. And this church has been a part of our ministry since then. And I just want to say thank you, because everything, our reward is your reward. We cannot do our work without the support that we receive. And we thank you for standing with us. Maybe some of you have never seen us before. Some of you know us. But this church has faithfully supported us all those years. So anyone who's heard the gospel, any new fields we've opened, any Bible schools, any missionaries we've trained, you are right there with us. Because we're able to do that work because you stand with us. You're partners with us. I often say that Things to Come Mission is a missionary sending arm of the Grace churches, like this one, Grace Bible Church. And if you want the gospel to go out, then you will support the gospel going out. And TCM is just a channel to help your church have an impact all around the world. And we thank you for your desire to see this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ go out there. When we flew into, we were flying. In fact, I was thinking of that song, It Is Well With My Soul. I don't know if you all know that story. Of course, based on a man who, his wife and, was it, four daughters were on a ship. And as they were crossing the Atlantic, the ship sank. And I think his wife wrote him a telegram in those days, I assume, or something like that, and said, saved alone, meaning our four children are gone. And he wrote those words when he was coming back on another ship. He came, and when the ship crossed the spot where his children has lost their lives, he penned the words of that song, It Is Well With My Soul. And if you know the history of that song, it's hard to sing it without feeling. I mean, this song was written out of great anguish in someone's heart, right? And so thank you. You did a great job, music team. Always great music here at Grace Bible Church. So thank you. Very meaningful. But I thought, as we flew over from Dubai, we flew over the Middle East, Europe, North Atlantic, And I thought, we probably flew close to that spot. Of course, now we fly in the safety and comfort of an airplane. But I think of how people have sacrificed to give us the songs and the churches and the growth of Christianity in the world. Someone sacrificed to bring us to where we are today. And we can be thankful for those people who've gone ahead of us and suffered before we came along. But I, as we flew across there, we landed in Orlando. Our daughter lives near Tampa. We started driving across to Tampa, and I turned on the radio, and first thing I heard was, a hurricane is headed for Florida. Prepare yourselves. Well, 2 years ago when we visited them, we were caught in Hurricane Irma, I think it was called, and we actually evacuated. We drove all night long, four I-75, four, all four lanes. They even used the shoulder, all the way to Mobile, Alabama. And I remember one place the gas gauge was getting real low. There were lines of 100 cars at every gas station. But we finally, the Lord allowed us to get there. And so now I arrive in Florida 2 years later with Joyce, and we hear the same thing on the radio. And fortunately, it did not. It turned before it wiped out the state. And I remember when we left our daughter, Jacqueline, she says, "Don't come and visit us again." So we did get out, although our flight was a day and a half late because they closed the Orlando airport, and so we did get delayed. But we're thankful to be here with you, and it always feels like coming home to be here at Grace Bible Church. This is my second time in this building, and so it's a beautiful facility you have here. I always love seeing it and coming here and worshiping with you. Thank you for standing strong for the grace of God here in Phoenix. So I want to talk today from Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 21. Romans 15, 14 through 21. I'd say open your Bibles, but I think a lot of people today don't have one of these. See this thing of paper and pages? It's called a Bible. It even says Holy Bible there. But I notice that many churches around the world that I speak in now, I say, open your Bibles, and there are no pages turning, right? Everyone's punching buttons on keyboards. But whatever you have, the Word of God is the Word of God, right? Whether you've memorized it in your heart and you know it, whether it's written on your cell phone, whether it's on the screen, PowerPoint, or it's on paper, it is the Word of God. It's the message contained in those words that's powerful, and it transforms our lives. So whatever you have, we'll be speaking from those passages. Want to start there with Romans 15, 14 through 16. And as I speak, I'll be talking also about our ministry, because this is also a report of some of the things we're doing. Romans chapter 15, starting from verse 14. "I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." That's up to 16. And my first point is this: proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. Here's Paul. This is probably the end of the book of Romans. I think the chapter 16 tends to be just a chapter of greetings. So really the end of his message in Romans ends with the end of 15. And he's finishing this up with an appeal and an explanation of the purpose of his life. And if we look at that, he says, what does he say? You're good, you'd have knowledge, you're able to teach one another, but he says, I have some more points that I want you to understand. And one of those points is Paul's own life. He says, I want to remind you of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. And then he goes on, he gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming that gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. When we read a passage like this, we wonder, well, who are Gentiles? Well, in the Bible, Gentiles are anyone who is not a Jew. And for this, you really have to have a dispensational understanding, see, because God first, way back in Genesis 12, God chose that Abraham and his descendants, and God would bless the world through them. And there were people who were blessed through that. The Ninevites, Jonah went and preached to them. We see Naaman. We see various people through the history who were blessed through the nation of Israel. But ultimately, Israel, as a nation, they did not accept Jesus as their Messiah. And so God came with, sent the Apostle Paul with something Paul called a dispensation or an administration or a stewardship of grace. And when we think of that, that grace, we need to recognize that God is accepting people of the world as they are today. However our languages, whatever our culture, whatever our clothes, however many rings in our noses and how many tattoos or whatever it is in your history or your past, because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, God loves us and he accepts us and he invites us into a relationship with him. And as Paul lived his life, he was concerned that the gospel, which had already been going out to Jews for, 2,000 years, he wanted the Gentiles, the rest of the world, the 99.8% of the world, he wanted them to come into a relationship with God. Because so many had never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. They were in darkness. In fact, the Bible often uses that concept of darkness. People living in darkness, not able to see the light of Jesus Christ. When people know Jesus, they know light, and they can see the truth. And so Paul gave his life. He was commissioned. He was called to give his life to take the light to the whole world, to the Gentiles. And so as we live our lives today, is that work finished? We are still living in what Paul called the dispensation of grace or administration of grace. God is still accepting, sending the gospel out to the Gentiles. But have all people had the chance to hear? And when we think about that, we have to be concerned. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. I appreciate the Sunday school class. A great discussion that you all had about the idea of new people coming in. How do we accept them? Are we judgmental? Do they feel welcome in this congregation? And that was a great discussion. And I will tell you that based on a verse like 2 Corinthians 5:19, God accepts them. With all their weaknesses, with failures that we all have, with imperfections, God accepts them. And that's the wonderful time in which we live. If we go back to like the previous dispensation, they had the law of Moses and 600 other laws, and there was a certain way that people had to live. But today, because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, he died before this dispensation started. When we come to him, he accepts us. And then his Holy Spirit indwells us and then gradually transforms us into the person that God wants us to be. And that happens over time. Through the rest of our lives, we're transformed to be more and more Christ-like. And this is the dispensation, the time in which we live. And this message needs to keep going out. Will this time come, this age of grace, will it come to an end? Well, according to the Bible, it will, because the Bible contains prophecy, and we believe there will be an event called the rapture when God takes his people, his church, home, and he continues with the next administration of God. And so during this time, we do have a responsibility to proclaim this wonderful message. It's almost like God opened up his plan and gave us so far 2,000 years to preach this gospel all around the world. And I praise the Lord, lives are being transformed. 100 years ago in Seoul, Korea, there was no Christian church. Today, The biggest churches in the world are in Seoul, Korea. Our own mission, in 1958, our first missionary went out to the Philippines. That was a target country for us. Today they have over 500 grace churches in the Philippines and many others of other denominations. We have 6 resident Bible schools where we're training pastors and Bible women for the ministry. Now the Philippines, we have about 30 missionaries raised up and supported by the Philippines, and they're now taking the gospel out. In fact, if you came to me and said, I want to be a missionary to the Philippines, I would say, why? Why? Do you have something to show them that they're not already doing? No, we are now taking them and using them. They're partners with Things to Come Mission to take the gospel to the next country. And so this responsibility, Paul is gone. He passed on many years ago. His responsibility now falls to us. And we must continue that ministry while it is still the day of salvation. I want to talk about one missionary that we're sending out. We sent out last year, Jimmy and Joy Escobar. They are in Vietnam right now. They're learning the Vietnamese language. Jimmy had a wonderful church in the Philippines. They had just built their new building. The church was full of people. He was the supervising minister for the whole area. And Joy was a professor of nursing, master's degree, in one of the prestigious universities of the Philippines. And we had our missionary training 2 years ago, and they showed up. And they said, you know, since for many, many years we've felt the need to take this gospel beyond the Filipinos. We already have so many churches and Bible schools and radio programs, and it's time for us to help this process of getting the gospel out beyond our own country. And we want to go to a country where most people have never heard of Jesus Christ. And they chose Vietnam. And the language is hard, and they're struggling with it. But they're learning it, and they have made many friends, and they already have a mentor, someone they're mentoring, a Vietnamese, young Vietnamese man, and they're mentoring him to work with them. Joy is teaching in a university in Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon. And, you know, it's exciting to me. I sat on the beach in the middle of Vietnam one day, and, you know, I was looking at the sky, and I thought, you know, however many years ago, 40, 50 years ago, there were probably American bombers coming across here, heading for Hanoi in the north, and, you know, to fight the war against the communists. And I think, how wonderful that I can sit here in this country freely, no one's trying to kill me, and I can be part of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. It's so precious. You know, when I was a kid, I mean, we had Green Berets who used to stay in our house because I lived in the Philippines. When they were on leave from the war, some of the servicemen would stay in our house. So I was very close to that Vietnam War. But I think now how wonderful it is that we can take the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you. God loves you unconditionally, and he wants you to be a part of his family. He's paid the price. I mean, it's such a wonderful opportunity that we have today. And I'm so thankful for Jimmy and Joy. They have 2 kids, a son in high school, a daughter in college, and they left them in the Philippines to go to school so that they can live in Vietnam and share the gospel. In fact, just for about 2 months, another pastor of a small church, he's visiting the States, he said, Jimmy, I want you to be the pastor of my church for 2 months. What a great opportunity, right, to learn the language, to learn the culture. This is a pure Vietnamese church. And really get into that culture and prepare themselves for the ministry that is ahead of them. So pray for them, Jimmy and Joy Escobar. A second point I want to make, and let's go on to Romans 15, 17 through 19. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. When we do ministry, notice that he says, what Christ has accomplished through me. But then at the end of the verse, he says, by what I have said and done. Do you see that concept of being co-workers, right? Paul in another place says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God brings the increase. God works through people. God works through you. If you're here today, God knows you. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. And he has a purpose and a plan for your life. And he wants you to accomplish his purpose in this world. And I encourage us to willingly take our part in the plan of God. Yes, I agree. We cannot do it alone. We need the Spirit. We need the Word of God. We need encouragement from other believers. But the fact is, God uses people to accomplish his purposes in the world. The gospel cannot go out unless there's a mouth to speak it. Yes, I suppose God could like have this booming voice that would come down from heaven in the language of the people. But he has not chosen to do that. He's chosen people who go over there and they go to language school and they struggle and they get discouraged and they cry and some of them go home. And in that process of interacting with the people, over time, the months, the years, they develop a relationship with those people. And through that relationship, they share the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you. He wants to save you. Will you come to him? And they can do that. That's the way God's decided to work. Our God is a relational God. You know that? I remember watching that movie Star Wars years ago when it first came out. That tells you how old I am, I guess. But I saw it the first week it came out. And the Force be with you, right? Well, God is not just some impersonal force in the sky. Our God is a God who relates to us in the most personal way. I mean, he sent his son, part of himself, to the earth to live among us and then to die that terrible death on the cross, to take our sins on himself. Why? Because he wants a relationship with us. He wants us to live honoring him and recognizing him, praying to him, reading his message to us in the Word. That's our God. Our God is a personal God. And we want those people in these countries to know that there is a personal God who loves them and has a plan for them. We must seek the unreached. This is my point. Seek the unreached. How does God count people? Same way we do, probably. 1, 2, 3, 4, right? I'm going to use that from the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Have you seen that passage before? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Here's how God counts people. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You believe that? Does God want all people? Does God want all people? If he does, what are we going to do about it? To bring the good news of God, the good news of Jesus Christ to all people. I believe this verse. I base my life on it. My wife and I have spent 33 years as missionaries. We've given our lives because of this verse. And we will hopefully give many more years of our lives to the end to proclaim this wonderful message of Jesus Christ. But this is how God counts. 1, 2, 3, 4. You might be more familiar with a verse like John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that whosoever, right? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The world and whosoever. God wants all of them to come to him. When we talk about this, I like to talk about unsaved and unreached. Okay, unsaved just means someone is not in a relationship with God. They are off doing their own thing, and they, either by choice or not, they have just decided to live their own lives, and they will save themselves. I mean, good luck with that. If you're here today planning to save yourself, you're on really shaky ground because you're not going to be able to do it. as we live through life, we become weaker and weaker, right? And so we need a Savior, someone else who's powerful and mighty, and who's paid the price, who owns us, who can reach down and lift us up with his power. And we all need that Savior. And so that's someone who's unsaved. But when in mission, we talk about unreached. You see, there are people who are unsaved, but they have heard the gospel. My grandfather and grandmother, my parents were missionaries, and they evangelized them so many times till they says, we don't want to hear it anymore. We know the gospel. Do not tell us again. I prayed for my grandparents for 17 years. They were not unreached. They had heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and they intentionally chose to reject it. They said, we do not want to be saved. We do not want to be Christians. Stop talking to us about it. Praise the Lord. And many times as it happens, my grandfather was there for his open heart surgery, and my dad went in and says, we don't know what the future holds. Are you ready for the future? And that's the time my grandfather says, yes, I want to go into the future with Jesus. And he accepted Christ, laying right there on the gurney before his open heart surgery. But we want, that's what we call unreached, is when somebody has not had a chance to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I remember a story my father told when he got in a taxi in Indonesia. The largest Muslim country in the world is Indonesia. And he got in a taxi and he asked the taxi driver, do you know Jesus Christ? And the taxi driver thought for a moment and says, no, but if you tell me where he lives, I'll take you there. Sadly, there are millions and millions of people like that. If you say the name Jesus Christ, you are talking about some total stranger that they have never heard of. We met them in Singapore. Joyce and I often rode like Uber, their form of Uber. And we often talked to the drivers. And we met a number who had no idea who Jesus Christ was. They never heard the gospel. And so we must be concerned for those people, have a love, deep love for them. And yes, I appreciate your church is reaching out right here from your doors, right to the houses surrounding you right here. That's wonderful, and that's where it starts. We start with our doors. But that gospel needs to go out, keep going out, keep going out, all the way to the ends of the earth, as the book of Acts says. That this gospel reaches the very darkest regions of this earth, where the name of Jesus Christ has never been heard by the people. And that's what mission does. That's our part. tell you about another missionary, Aaron and Nomi Arsino. They work in the country of East Timor. And East Timor is 97% mixture of Catholicism and animism. Most of the people are not educated. They live up in mountains and the jungles. And Aaron is a great church planter from the Philippines. Helped to plant 16 churches in 10 years. That is his specialty. That's his ability. And same thing, he came to our missionary training, and he says, I want to take this gospel beyond the Philippines. And we trained him. We raised his support. These are what we call team missionaries. I'm sorry, but they won't stand here. You won't see them ever standing here in your church preaching, because we don't bring our team missionaries to the States. The cost of the tickets, the visas, some of them don't even have a driver's license, so you can't give them the car and say, drive around to the Grace churches. You won't get the car back, right? And so we send them straight out from the field, from the Philippines or wherever, Indonesia. We send them straight to where they're going to minister. And Aaron has gone to East Timor, and he has a knack with languages. Within 2 months, he was teaching the Bible in the local language. He has led literally dozens of people to the Lord already. He has English classes every day. He has church service on Sunday, and he has 10 young people, and he's starting the Bible school this month. He will start training them in the Bible school. And so these will become his helpers in taking the gospel to the rest of the country. And they have three little children, and those children go to school, a local school there in Dili, East Timor. Because it's a Catholic country, these are people who have heard of Jesus Christ. They know, there's a big statue. If you look on the internet for Cristo Rey Dili, there's a big statue of Jesus standing on the world with his hands outstretched, looking over the harbor of Dili, East Timor. And that's where Aaron and Nomi live, and they are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Final point I want to make just from verse 20 and 21, Romans 15. Find it here. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. And I titled this one, Passing the Baton. Passing the Baton. You know, mission requires separation. Someone must separate and go out to proclaim the gospel. Yesterday, I was driving with Joyce, and yesterday was a hot day, and she says, I really like Phoenix. And we just walked across this black pavement that felt like I was in the middle of somebody's oven, and I'm thinking, that wasn't the first thought that came to my mind at this time, but maybe wait till winter, I'll say this, I'll agree with you, I'll have a whole hearty amen, yes. But she says, I like Phoenix. And you know, when I met Joy, she had just bought her first house the month before I met her, January of 86. She had signed a contract. She was a teacher. She'd finished her teaching degree. She was teaching in a high school here. And she likes Phoenix, right? Her family is here. But she spent the last 33 years outside of Phoenix. Why? Why? So that those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. If someone doesn't sacrifice to take this gospel out there, then the people aren't going to get the message. How about our Savior Jesus? He was in heaven. He's God. He's seated on a throne up there with all the great things heaven has. But he didn't hold it. He didn't keep it. He gave it all up. Born in a manger where animals eat. Poor, poor guy in a poor country. Why? Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and we are sinners. He came for us, and not only for us. He came to people to the ends of this world. Was it worth it for Jesus Christ to give up so much so that we could be saved? So that we can be today saved by grace through faith? Well, I say a big amen. Yes, right? It was worth it for us. Well, how much for us? Someone like Joyce, who's given up 33 years of Phoenix living so that she can preach the gospel somewhere else. And she has. Joyce is a great evangelist. If you can't be around Joyce more than a half hour or so, and you will hear the gospel. That's her personality. And she's shared the gospel with hundreds of people around the world because she feels it's worth her life to leave Phoenix, leave her family here, and preach the gospel where Jesus Christ is not known. And I pray our attitude will be the same. Just one more mission I wanted to share with you before I close. Taiwan Vincent and Shirley Quiñones, they are from north of Manila. He has a very active church. He's planted three daughter churches in the Manila area. And he came to our GTCM training. And he was sent by the head of the mission department in the Philippines. And he was sent to learn about missions so he could take that place as the mission department head in the Philippines. After the first week, I was teaching a theology of mission the first week. After the first week, he says, I have to be a missionary. And so the whole plan of him being the head of the mission department was out. And he just felt I have to go out and preach this gospel. And so he decided on Taiwan, a country that is just 2.8% Christian. And we took a survey trip there earlier this year with another a couple, a man, Roland, in Proso. And Vincent invited me to speak at what he called the passing the baton service when he went, when he was about to leave. And so this was a special service. The church was packed. People were standing outside. All the daughter churches came, and they had four young men who would replace him as pastors of those four congregations, and then four older men who would be the elders, who were already elders of those four churches. And we preached a message. I preached from Elijah and Elisha, and how Elijah passed a double portion of his spirit to Elisha. And I asked for a double portion of the spirit of those men, of the leaders of Vincent Quiñones, to those four younger pastors. And there were a lot of tears in that service. They love their pastor. He's alive and he's active, and many of them were saved through his evangelism. And they were crying. And I'm sure in their minds were, why? Why are you leaving us? We need you. Why? I hope that this passage answers that question, why? We have pastors to replace Vincent in the Philippines. Our Bible schools run continuously. Every year we produce 80 graduates from our Bible school ready to be pastors. Taiwan, you know, when we did the survey of Taiwan, I talked to a missionary who'd been there for about 20 years. And I said, "I says, what's the greatest need that you feel to reach Taiwan?" He says, "We need people simply to come here, learn the language, and share the gospel with the people. That's all. That's what we need. Someone who will come here and live here and share the gospel with these people." And I praise the Lord for that. This year, Things to Come Mission, we'll be sending two families over there to Taiwan, and they will start that hard process of learning Mandarin, one of the hardest languages in the world, right? Just pray for them, because there's visa problems, language difficulties. There's always barriers to getting into these countries and sharing the gospel. But I do pray that will be successful. So I'll just say that for Joyce and me, part of what we do, I've already explained, GTCM, our Grace Theological Center for Mission, that's the mission training program. We teach it every 2 years. We will teach it again this coming year, 2020. We're very proud. Our daughter, Tegwin, and her family, they're missionaries now in Kenya. And they will actually be coming back to the Philippines, and they will go through the 2 months of training. We train 8 hours a day for 2 months, so they're coming back there for that. We'll also have another American family there, the Sanders. So do pray for that, because Joyce and I have now left Singapore, and we're planning to move back to the Philippines because we have several important ministries there this year. And so we would pray for our process. We'll be traveling now for 5 months. We just started. And then after that, we'll be settling in the Philippines for about 6 months. So we ask for your prayers for that ministry. And pray for our new missionaries. Being a missionary is not easy. It requires a call. And pray for them. Even if they're from the Philippines, they have the same struggles that any missionary has. And some of them want to quit and go home. And so pray for them. There's this spiritual warfare always of Satan trying to get them to go home and keep that country in darkness. Because the more missionaries he can send home, the darker the country will remain. And so pray for our missionaries as they go out, that the Lord will encourage them and keep them on the field. Ultimately, our fight is not against flesh and blood, right? Our fight is spiritual. There are spiritual powers, whether we're aware of it or not. There is a major battle between God and Satan going on. And God would love for this world to remain in darkness and people to be ignorant of God and Jesus Christ. So thank you, and thank you for your prayers for us. I thank you that your church is concerned with reaching out. I saw that in the Sunday school class. I see that from Pastor Josh. Thank you that you're not just concerned of yourselves, but that you are concerned that there are people around here and they are in darkness, and that you want to reach out with the light of Christ. And thank you that your love extends to the ends of the earth and your support for us for all these years. Let's close in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church, Grace Bible Church. How many years this church has stood strong. It stood for the truth. It's continued to proclaim the Word of God. I thank you for Pastor Josh and his family. I pray that you would keep them strong, healthy, wise, shepherds of the flock. And I pray, Lord, that the impact of this church will be felt in this neighborhood, that more and more people would come to know through Jesus Christ through the ministries of this church. We glorify your name today. We thank you that we can say today, it is well with our soul, and it is well because of what Jesus Christ has done. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.